This is the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
So let's get to it here. Look, two main things last night with the Eagles game, obviously. One, Tanner McKay, two defensive players that we were all keying in on that either will start, will play, or will not make the roster. And then I'll just say this one other thing. I thought it was an entertaining game, like just for what it's worth. I mean, the end, a little less so at the end, but I thought the first half in particular was, for preseason football, pretty fun to watch. I'll put that out there. John, McKay, the defense, I don't know what hit you the most. I think both are pretty compelling topics. What hit you the most of those two last night? What are your thoughts?
The two young wide receivers probably hit me the most. If I had to name one.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, really, I did not expect Johnny Wilson to look like an elite wide receiver.
He made
nice catches. Yeah, the go up and get him catches, man, I loved seeing that for a guy who's almost 6'7". And, you know, yesterday before watching, I made some notes, and I was wondering, you know, who's after Jahan Dotson at wide receiver? And the list that I had was Johnny Wilson, Terrace Marshall, Aeneas Smith, Elijah Cooks, Avery Williams. Who will differentiate themselves? I didn't even list Darius Cooper. And Darius Cooper, from what we saw last night, holy cow, this guy might be the most talented of the bunch.
Wow.
Darius Cooper is exciting. So I took that away last night. And I also, you know, I can't wait for Ja'Quarian Bennett to start practicing
on
the 9th.
Need him, my
That's
man.
Tomorrow.
Need him.
Because that number 7 and number 8 were not good enough, especially number 7.
Right.
Keely Ringo, but you know, it Adoree Jackson, it's just not there. And Vic Fangio and Howie Roseman, they both told us this in their own ways. You know, Vic Fangio basically called Adoree Jackson out a couple weeks
ago. Well, and the trade tells it also.
And
you know what I'm saying?
And that's how Howie called these guys out. Yeah. Howie went and said, "You know what, Vic Fangio, you know, Vic and I have been talking. We need to help this team. I'm going to go get a better cornerback." So, you know, I was disappointed that we didn't get to see him last night, but I understand you got to take care of things before guys get on the field. I thought last night watching Jahad Campbell, it was great to see him just running around. It's great to see him just having fun out there. It's great to see him ahead of schedule compared to where I think most people thought.
Everyone was just so
surprised, it seemed. Oh, my gosh, he had a shoulder.
Did he play well?
Reconstruction.
What'd you notice?
I thought he did. He flew around. I know you hate that terminology.
I love the way he can just look
athletic while doing the simple things, you know, just drop into a zone.
Yep.
He's going to make a ton of plays, like the interception that he missed out there. I loved watching every little thing he was doing, because it looks a little different. It looks a little more exciting because he's doing it at a different level of speed and ferocity.
And
offenses are going to feel it.
Sure. So
I can't wait.
So
the edge rushers, though. Mm-hmm. Edge rushers felt overmatched also. You know, number 7 and number 8 felt overmatched in the back end. But then, like, you know, Azeez Ojulari and I was thinking some of these, the big-name guys, Agbo Okoronkwo, and, you know, the guys who've been around the block a few times, not the starters. We know Nolan Smith can do this. The guys who were competing in camp, the second stringers, they didn't seem to get – I mean, I know they're a bit overmatched maybe because we're talking about starters and Joe Burrow.
Right.
And they're focused in Cincinnati on keeping Joe Burrow clean because it doesn't seem they can ever do that. But it felt almost like we were victimized by the Cincinnati Bengals' desire to do a better job of keeping Joe Burrow clean.
So look,
our edge guys didn't do a good enough job because of that.
Really a lot more, I would say, to react to after this game than typically is the case in this, like, really recent modern NFL football, where I feel like you watch the first preseason game and there's not a ton to kind of dig into.
Just the first half,
there was a lot. Yeah, there was a lot last night. So we'll take your reaction at 215-592-9494. First and foremost, what stood out to you the most? And then just
our backs are both good. Our two backup backs. I thought we had one that was going to be the short yardage goal line and one that was going to be the receiving back, but they both look like they can do both roles, which is really cool.
So what stood out to you the most, and secondarily, what else hit you? Because there's a lot to react to. So, you know, it's an interesting tale of the tape. The defense, I thought, was generally disappointing, and then the McKee thing I thought was really tremendous. So defense, pretty alarming. You know, one thing that stood out to me was back in March, you know, when they were losing all those players, and Slay might have exemplified this more than anybody. So many people would call our show and be like, no big deal. I was like, you sure? Like, are you sure?
Well,
and
Joe,
I mean,
that's the first preseason game with
that,
our backups against the starters.
I understand.
And the starters are Joe Burrow.
I understand that.
You know,
but
Joe Burrow and his crew, his posse of receivers.
But there's a lot of good players they'll face. Now,
Jamar Chase is way beyond
player. But hold on. We've seen plenty of Eagles seasons where you got a pretty darn good team. You know, not like elite like last year, but a pretty darn good team that can get sunk by bad corner play. I mean, I felt like last decade, you know, other than 2017, I felt like last decade, that was a recurring freaking theme. And so obviously they're well set with Quinyon, and it now is entirely obvious why Vic Fangio is having Quinyon Mitchell travel, you know, in preparation for the season. But, I mean, I got to tell you, my reaction to, like, the second corner is holy hell. Now, maybe, you know, the guy they got last week will step in and, you know, or whatever, last week, early this week, whenever it was, and actually be able to hold it down and be a solid contributing quality
decent player. He has been a starter. He expects to be a starter.
Well, look, I'll make my determination of that guy when I see him play. That's where I'm at.
I can't wait.
So, and I think they need him because what we saw last night was substandard, to just use one word. So that was concerning. Other
substandard
elements,
against incredible route running.
Other elements of the defense I thought were not great also. I agree with you, John, the guys up front. Now, look, it's hard to discern in a game. You know, you watch it once, like exactly what's going on out there. You know, I can't tell you exactly how the defensive tackles played. I'll just say defensively with the guys that you know, and again, it's one of three things, that either will be starters, contributors, or get cut. For the most part, I was unimpressed. Now, I'm glad, John, you thought Campbell played well. I thought Trott Jr. did some good things. But I mean, some of the other guys, like, I don't know, man. So that's the defense. Now, as far as Tanner McKee goes, you know, we talked in the offseason, would you trade him for a second-round pick? I think the answer at this point is absolutely not. Now what comes into focus is, would you trade him for a first-round pick? And with him being under contract for 2 years, man, it's a bit of a conundrum. I mean, you know, I think the guy can play. I've told you in the offseason a number of times, I think he's a future starting NFL quarterback. I think he's a great chip to have. One of two things, either to obviously have if Jalen gets hurt with a Super Bowl-ready roster to try to keep that going, as Nick Foles did in 2017, if God forbid you're in that spot. But the other thing is, you know, at some point he could get traded for real value. Mark Brunell a number of years ago was for a first-round pick. I'm not telling you it's Mark Brunell, but I'll tell you this. I absolutely would not trade him for anything short of a first-round pick. Absolutely would not. Like, wouldn't even at this point, wouldn't even consider it for a second-round pick. I think the guy's good. So we'll take your reaction on where you stand on McKee.
Well, everyone
on the defense
that this guy can make the decisions.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's really solid.
That's in my book, like the mind processing, like however you call it.
Yeah.
That ability to go through progressions, you know, that fast, that's the number one trait that I'm looking
number
for.
Number one, but
in
you know what also his...
It's above arm strength. It's above athleticism.
I agree.
It's processing speed.
John, I agree it's number
power.
One, but...
If these guys are computers, processing speed, the GPU or CPU, whatever that is...
I agree.
He's fast.
He also threw a nice ball. Like, those catches Johnny Wilson had, they were contested. They were, like, really well thrown.
He trusts his receivers. I mean,
now, he had the one
is,
he shouldn't have thrown, and it was almost an interception.
Gutsy, man.
You know?
He's gutsy. He's accurate. I love – well, everyone loves the way he plays. He's successful.
It was very impressive. Devin, you were there last night. Obviously, you know, sideline reporter, Merrill and Mike and you. Mm-hmm. What were your impressions? So, your field level during the game.
Yeah.
What were your impressions?
I mean, honestly, the first half was exciting football. You think of the preseason and you're kind of like, oh, ho-hum, you know, it's going to be a lot of backups, not a ton of action, not a ton of, you know, actual schemes. But, Tanner McKee and that offense made it really exciting to watch. And, of course, you know, Joe Burrow and the Bengal starters were out there for a little bit. Like you just said, Joe, I mean, the cornerback play was concerning, especially when it comes to Kelee Ringo. Do you know when they drafted Jacorian Bennett, the Raiders? It was the
what
pick,
year or what pick?
It was the pick, right? It was in 2023, the pick right before the Eagles traded up to get Kelee Ringo.
Oh,
so it almost makes
you
think, is he the guy that the Eagles initially wanted?
Yes.
Because
seems like that, that sort
it
of
is
serendipity always happens.
And it makes a lot of sense. So that was concerning, but there were too many bright spots to get hung up on the negative. I mean, even.
But the defense was like,
Well, there was so the rookie.
Because we saw 2023.
They're playing Joe Burrow in the start.
I'm not even going to take that into consideration because it's the first preseason game. Jihad Campbell, I thought, did incredibly well. Ty Robinson had his first sack. So, like, there were some bright spots. But, yeah, I mean, the defense certainly gave a little bit more.
Seltzer, what stood out to you the most? What did you make of it?
Well, I think anyone who says anything other than Tanner McKee is wrong. Like, the single thing that stood out the most last night is Tanner McKee. He's a dude. He's one of the 20 to 25 best starting quarterbacks in the NFL today, my opinion.
Yep.
So I'm with you. I wouldn't trade him for a first. I don't know that I would trade him for anything right now. Like, obviously, if you get two firsts, you get bowled over. But I think he's too important to this team. I mean, Jalen's gone down every single year of his career for at least a game, a couple games, whatever. We're trying to win the Super Bowl. Like, this guy is a high, high-level backup. So that was the number one thing. I agree with Richie. The young receivers, Joe, you've talked a lot about how desolate it is after those top three guys. That was a good sign for a spot. You never know. You might need guys. Guys get hurt. And as far as the defense goes, I just can't overreact. I get it. First of all, Joe Burrow and those guys. But in addition, I mean, Jalen Carter's not on the field. Zach Bond's not on the field. Quinn Yacht. Like, it's just different. Defense works together. Vic's defense works together. I can't overreact to Ja'Marr Chase burning guys.
Man. All right, Elliot Shore Parks on the scene last night when the Eagles took care of business. It was an entertaining game. And you know, the offense did a lot of good things. Defense, not quite as much. Elliot right now. Good morning, Elliot.
What's up? How you guys doing?
Quite a bit, my man. So, Elliot, there's a lot of ways we can go, but let me just ask you the question we started the show with to everyone. Number one thing that jumped out to you last night. Because it's a little, to me, tough. Do you say Tanner McKee is, you know, going to be the backup? Or do you say defensive players who didn't play as well? Which one hits you more?
Yeah, I might go with something a little different. And to your point, I think there's a lot that could really stand out. I thought the backup receivers all really, really shined. And that was a big concern of mine watching this team in the first 10 days of training camp. Johnny Wilson made those 50-50 catches he hasn't been making in camp. Anaya Smith might have won himself a roster spot with that punt return. They feel confident with him back there, and they don't have to put Cooper back there.
Yeah.
That definitely helps his chances. And then obviously Darius Cooper with his big game. So, yeah, the defensive guys struggling for sure. Tanner was awesome, but the backup receiver spots are pretty important, and I thought that they all played really well last night.
Yeah, they did. How good is Tanner McKee, Elliott? I said earlier, I think he's probably a top 20 quarterback in football. James went, you know, a little further to 20 to 25. How good is he?
Yeah, if I was another team, I would legitimately trade a first-round pick to get him. And we all see on the field how good he is, just how accurate he is. I love that he gives his receivers chances to make plays with the football. He throws up those 50-50 passes that a lot of quarterbacks aren't willing to throw up. But from being around him from 2 years, he truly is almost the reincarnation of Nick Foles. Like, he really has that Nick Foles personality about him where the guys in the locker room absolutely love him. I asked him last night about his Madden score and how he was a 61. And he said guys in the locker room have been joking around calling him 61. Last year they had another nickname for him. Like, he is a good locker room guy, and that's critically important when it comes to being a great quarterback. So, yeah, I think Tanner McKee is absolutely the real deal.
Yeah, and his relationship with Jalen Hurts is a big reason why I don't think it makes any sense at all to even consider getting rid of this guy. He's the confidant of Jalen, isn't he? Like, talking about, hey, what'd you see on this play? What'd you see on that play?
Yeah, no, I think they have a great quarterback room dynamic, no question about it. And I think that's been the case since last year. I mean, he was on the players' lounge with me last year, and the way he talks about that quarterback room, how he helps Jalen, I think it's definitely a positive. I would say, though, and while I am not itching to trade Tanner McKee at all, trust me, I do wonder if we're going a little bit far with, like, the absolutely wouldn't trade him for a second-round pick. Like,
we are.
This is when you cash in on a guy like Tanner McKee. So, I mean, it's great for
we also want an amazing backup, but, and he is a huge part of that offense.
Yeah, but, Elliot, I'll add this, though. Part of why I don't trade him for a two is because I got him under contract for this year and next year. If it was only one more year to go, to me, he'd be less valuable to the Eagles. He's got value. He's a cheap backup. He can get in there. I got a Super Bowl-ready roster. Hopefully I do next year as well. I would not trade him for a second round.
There has to be a tax if you're trading him now. You trade him in the offseason when you can get another backup quarterback in and prepare for it.
Exactly,
you know, if you're going to trade him right now, you have to have a tax for it.
I agree.
Yeah, you also have to trade him when his value is at his highest. Like we can all act like, you know, if he plays 5-6 games this year that he'll be great, and he might be, right? He's passed every test so far. But we have no idea how he'll play over a long stretch. And you say it's a cost-controlled backup, and that's true. It is. And again, the fact we've been talking about a second-round pick speaks to his extreme value right now. But that second-round pick could end up being a legitimate starter on cost-controlled deal for 3 years. So, yeah, I think if a team offered a second, I think that it's something they'd have to strongly think.
Yeah, I don't think they would, but I hear you. All right, defense. Look, we all know Kelee Ringo struggled dramatically. Let me just ask you this question. Who is going to be the starting cornerback opposite of Quinyon Mitchell?
I think if they played a game this weekend, they would have Jacorian Bennett in the film room up until kickoff trying to teach him the defense so that he would start.
Is that the holdup, Elliot, that he just has no idea the way that this defense works? What's taking so long getting him on the field
like
with these guys?
I mean, it's been like
2 days. Yeah
they just traded for him like a couple days ago.
He hasn't even practiced yet.
I
mean, I
know.
I don't know.
Why?
Well, he's got to move. 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
He flew on a red eye.
He's got to fly across the country. He's got to take his physicals, all that, you know?
John. Yes, yeah. I'm aware. I know how. I'm aware. I've been through this. I know how it works. Yeah. You can get there the next day, and then you start practicing.
So, but Elliot, obviously, I think it's fair they want him to get that job. Do we know that he's good enough? Elliot, let me frame it a different way. He may be good enough to be the best of the bunch. Is he good enough to be an average NFL starting quarterback?
If he plays like he has so far in his career in a limited sample size, then he is good enough. The numbers with him in Las Vegas are good enough to be an above-average corner for sure. But, to get to the Tanner thing, like it's easier to be great in flashes than it is to do it week after week when people have film of you, they know how they want to attack you, and you have to go out there every snap. So, I mean, he's a question mark at this point. Now, he, again, does have upside, and he's played well. But, no, they might have an issue at that number two cornerback spot for sure. I mean, Quinyon might get 5 targets all year at this rate. I mean, because right, I don't know why you would ever throw the ball his way when that second cornerback spot's such a question. So after watching last night, I think there's 3 positions they have to consider making a move for. They have to consider making a move for a corner, a safety, and I think an edge as well. I wasn't super impressed with the edges last night either.
What were the bright spots defensively?
The bright spots defensively, I thought the defensive tackles played well. Ty Robinson had a sack. He had another nice pressure. And then Gabe Hall early on in the game, he's a guy that stands out. 6'6", the second he steps on the field, you recognize he's out there. He had a nice pass rush early on. And as concerning as the edges are, I do think the tackles can be a real strength of this team. And that's a big deal because if they get good linebacker play and they have Cooper at safety and base, you look at the middle of that defense, and that's a really strong middle. So I thought the defensive tackles were good.
Ellie, what'd you make of Jahad Campbell last night?
I thought it was interesting he didn't start. I know they rotated, you know, guys in and out, but to have Smile Mondon Jr. out there to begin the game over Campbell, I thought was interesting. Obviously, he almost came down with that interception. Probably a play he should make. But
well, totally should make. Yeah, no question.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, it's not a super easy play, but I agree it's something he should come down with. Talking to him afterwards, you could tell he was pretty hard on himself about dropping that interception. So I didn't think much stood out from him on the field. But just the fact he didn't start, I thought was a little interesting.
Yeah. Mondon struggled, it looked like.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, I do think, you know, for being a mid-round pick, I thought just the fact he did start over Campbell was a sign of how good they feel about him. But I agree. He didn't do a ton with his opportunity.
He looked, I don't know, smaller and less stout than I would have liked. Smile Munden, having seen him at camp, he does fly around. He looks really good sideline to sideline, but can he hold up? That's a big concern now, having seen him in a game situation. I can't get around how small he feels now. Not just looks, but feels as a player. On the offensive side of the ball, Elliot, the backs, running back-wise, A.J. Dillon and Will Shipley, who had a better game?
I thought Will Shipley had definitely had a better game. I'm going to put my 53-man roster together this morning, and I don't know if A.J. Dillon will be on it.
I thought he was pretty good.
I think he'll be in the building, and I think he'll probably be on the practice squad to start the season. But if you look at other guys that had big games last night, Darius Cooper, Anaya Smith, like, these are guys that if they cut, they're going to have to go through waivers. A.J. Dillon doesn't go through waivers. So they can cut him, put him on the practice squad, promote him for a few weeks, and figure it out. He doesn't look like he has a great burst to me out of the backfield. I think Will Shipley is considerably faster. Right, no, I agree, yeah. But Will Shipley, I think, is considerably faster. So I thought Will Shipley on that run last night really showed his upside.
Can you just explain real quick, Ellie, why can't another team claim him if he gets cut by the Eagles, A.J. Dillon?
Because if you're in the league a certain amount of time, you're a vested veteran, and you don't end up going through the waiver system. So I think it's 4 years, but if you've been in the league over 4 years and you're cut...
3 years and two games.
But can't someone take him off the Eagles practice squad if they want? I thought that was part of how it worked.
Yeah, but it's not... He would have to agree to go. You can't just pluck him and take him. He would have to agree to go. So
did you say pluck?
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure, because there was a lot of UCK.
Buddy,
and I heard UCK, and I wanted to make sure we started with a PL.
Okay. It definitely was a PL.
Quite a different way to persuade him. But I think that I think what the Eagles would do is they would pay him enough where he would be okay sitting on the practice squad for a few weeks.
Okay.
Darius Cooper looks outstanding from what I saw. Did he do enough to catapult himself up up the depth chart? There are a lot of wide receivers out there. We know that Johnny Wilson did a really nice job. We know that Anaya Smith did a really nice job, and it feels like those are young guys who they want to keep. But Darius Cooper is so far down on that depth chart. Did he do enough to sort of catapult his way up into the consciousness to where he can possibly make this team, Elliot?
Yeah, I think he did do enough last night. The only issue is a lot of other guys did enough too, right? Johnny Wilson played well, and Anaya Smith with the special teams return. But Darius Cooper has been outstanding all of training camp. He catches everything thrown his way. He's not someone that has, I don't think, a special physical, like elite physical skill.
But he's large.
He does everything well. He's strong. He has a bit of a Debo build, yes. I would say. So we'll see. Talking to him last night, I'll say this. Like, he is someone fans will fall in love with. I've been at a ton of press conferences after games with these guys. He starts his press conference off last night saying, "Hi, I'm Darius Cooper. I graduated from Charleston State. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, and I'm blessed to be here." So he does have a charming quality about him. So, yeah, he did a lot last night to help his stock for sure.
That's cool.
Awesome.
I like that. All right, Elliot, final thing. We got to make a decision here because the me and Jack running's coming up. And we need to figure out how long the run should be. I want to play some audio of the afternoon show from yesterday discussing this. And then we'll get your reaction. Here's what the guys in the afternoon show said.
Jack just put a lot of pressure on himself to win the race and then win basketball.
You can handle it.
I think you should get out for a little bit of running. Just a little bit of running. Get your cardio.
Once you figure out what the exact running is.
Well,
God forbid.
Imagine we would figure it out.
Is it a lap around? Is it a sprint? Is it whatever?
I think it should be a quarter mile. It should be one lap around of track.
Either one's fine.
Yeah.
I just would like to know what it is.
Sure. Yeah. I think the longer it is, the more of a chance... The safer it is for you.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know,
I just want to get it over with.
Yeah,
as fast as possible.
I'm hearing you. I hear you.
Boy, that last line is weird.
Look, they sound like they like the quarter mile idea. Like, yeah. Spike is proposing that's his.
Well, I think he thinks that's hardest for me.
But I think you have a great chance of winning that from what I've seen. Jack is a quitter.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jack,
don't
when he gets to that right final angle. Stretch, you're close to him.
So, Elliot, what do you think? There's the 100 meter, which is the traditional sprint, you know, Olympics, Carl Lewis, that whole thing. 200, Michael Johnson. 400, one lap around the track. Which should it be?
Yeah, I think it should absolutely be one time around the track. I think it's a very clear answer. It's the best combination of speed. I don't want to call once around the track endurance, but it has more of one than 100 than 100 meter thing. So yeah. I think one time around the track. And honestly, for you, that's what I would vote, because I think the only way you win is if he trips or something like that, and the longer he runs, the more likely it is he falls. So
he's got
I
a great chance of
one.
Being out yeah. of gas in that final
well,
100.
So, and Jack,
no, all that lactic acid in his legs. He could trip.
Well, and Jack can run for maybe. Distance, but you can't. So it's not a full-out sprint if you do the 400-meter, the one lap. But I think it can test. Like, I don't think that the endurance of running however long Jack runs, 3, 4, 10 miles, really translates to a 400 meter, if that makes sense. So I do think it gives you a decent, an equal chance.
It's, look, one thing I'm going to have to learn if we do that is
aerobic and anaerobic.
What percentage do I run at? Meaning, you know, if 100 meters.
90%.
That's what I figured, about 90% the whole time. Yeah,
and then 100 at the end.
Till the end, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, one more thing I want to play for you, Elliot. James, this is number 30, if we can, please. Because, you know, Elliot, I know your buddies with France, but there's also the question of, is this the guy to believe in? Like, listen to something that happened on their show on Wednesday. This was after tennis.
Let me explain half-ass Jack here. So half-ass Jack Ike practices two times,
yeah,
both with Goose, whoever the hell
Goose
is.
Goose is.
Might even not.
2012 Chessmont player.
Like, this
year.
Is Top Gun or something. Your friend Goose.
Yeah.
I don't think the Goose exists.
Yeah, does he really exist?
Yeah. Then the other thing is the match is at 11:30 today at FDR Park. So I get there at about 10:50, right?
Mm-hmm.
10:50, and I see you walking up right around 10:58,
yep.
I think it was.
Yep.
11 o'clock, no Jack. 11:05, no Jack. 11:10, no Jack. 11:15, no Jack. Jack waddles up at 11:18,
yeah,
smiling, not a care in the world, while the camera had been there for 35, 40 minutes warming up.
Is that the guy to believe in, Elliot? Put another way, is he still the favorite?
So I think he's still the favorite just because I do think the two events really favor him. But, yeah, I was there earlier than Jack was. I would have been there an hour early like you were warming up. So
I got a good warm-up in. Like, I was wondering if I was going too hard, honestly.
And you dominated him, so it was
correct.
A good work.
I would have dominated him. I could have rolled out freaking bed and dominated him, but yeah, correct.
Yeah, no, I agree. No, I mean, look, Jack's got to take the last two events more seriously, no question about it.
All right, Elliot, good man. Good job last night, and we'll be talking to you. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Elliot.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
All right, Elliot Shore Parks.
Come on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. We got a lot to get to today. Elliot Shore Parks joins us at 11. Scott Fransky at 12 on a Fransky Friday. And we have ourselves a football game to react to, maybe overreact to. Good morning, Hugh Douglas.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen, we had our first preseason game yesterday. Don't overreact, but we're probably going to overreact.
Huh? Yeah, don't overreact.
Yeah, we're going to definitely overreact.
Excuse me, I haven't seen a football game since February.
Yeah,
of course,
we're going to overreact.
Yeah, well, it sounds like, well, I think the overreaction has already begun. All right, there's a lot to unpack from last night. We'll get to some of the defensive issues that we saw last night, including one player in particular that feels like we have to at least upgrade the spot or maybe change the idea of what that depth chart looks like. But Hugh Douglas, we start with the good, and the good was on the offensive side of the football, and the good was with the quarterback last night. How about Tanner McKee, Hugh, a guy, and all right, I'll give it up. I mean, someone around here has been calling him the future for a while. Huh? Hugh Douglas, your guy. He is officially your guy. Tanner McKee last night didn't just play well. He lit up the Cincinnati Bengals, who played a bunch of starters, 20 of 25, 252 yards, 3 total touchdowns, including a tush-push touchdown. Hugh, what'd you think of last night, and what'd you think of your guy, Tanner McKee?
Well, I've always said he was the future.
You
now,
have.
Yeah. His future, I don't know where that is, mm-hmm. but it's always good to have a competent backup quarterback.
Totally.
And Tanner looks like he's that guy. You know, when you talk about the small sampling size that we saw last night, he did a really good job. He moved the football. He put points on the board, man, and he got the ball out of his hands quick.
Well, he did. And it's a continuation of what we've seen the last couple preseasons where I think, you know, if last night was the first time we watched the guy play, I'd be like, oh, you know, maybe there's something there. But we've seen him play a little bit the last few years, right? He was here for 3 years now, and we saw him play in the preseason a few years ago, along when it was Marcus Mariota as the backup. We saw him play last year in the preseason when it was Kenny Pickett as the backup quarterback. And then when Pickett got hurt late last season, when he had to come in for Jalen, we saw McKee play in a regular season game. So we've seen a little bit of Tanner McKee. So I don't think we were totally shocked, but watching him do it for the full half last night, and Hugh, he did a lot of good things. I mean, we're talking about a guy who pushed the ball down the field, gave his guys a chance at 50-50 balls. The other thing that is pretty noticeable about him in all the times we've watched him play, he gets the ball out of his hands quickly. I mean, there's something here. I mean, the Eagles have – this is a great job by the Eagles to find this guy in the sixth round. He did not have a decorated college career. In fact, he had a very – almost forgettable college career. He didn't do anything. He barely had a 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio. He won 6 games. Like, typically, these guys don't become good NFL quarterbacks. But right now, it looks like they have a guy that, if they needed him, could win a decent amount of football games. And Hugh Douglas, the question is this now, because you just never know in the NFL when you're going to need your backups. You're never going to know how important they're going to be. Hugh, if, and this is a hypothetical, and let's hope we never get to this point, but if...
People hate hypotheticals.
If the Eagles needed Tanner McKee to play, let's say, the entire season, do you still think they would be a playoff team? Are you confident the Eagles could be a playoff team? Is he that solid that they could be a playoff team with Tanner McKee?
I think that Tanner McKee would be good enough to make it to the playoffs, yes. But, and I know you didn't ask me this, but I'm going to tell you because I think I need to say this because I know what's about to happen.
It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter.
All I hear is you are confident that they'd be a playoff team.
They would be a playoff team, but they wouldn't be a dynamic playoff team. Mm. They would probably be a team that gets into the playoffs and goes home in the first round.
But a playoff team. Well, that's pretty big.
Commit.
That's pretty big, Hugh Douglas. That's pretty big.
Because listen to what I'm saying, y'all, because I already know how this is going to go. I think Tanner McKee is a good football player, a good quarterback, in small sampling sizes, and I think that this offense and these players around him are good enough that you can get in the playoffs. Mm. Now, the dynamic part comes in when you get in the playoffs. I don't think that he has that he's going to get you to the promised land. I don't think he's going to do that now.
It's still pretty big to say a playoff team with a guy that has not started but one game in the NFL and really lit up a bad defense last night. Here's where I'm at it. 215-592-9494. I saw something last night. Well, I saw two things. One, I saw Tanner McKee play very well, which was awesome to see. And it's great to see that we have ourselves a good backup quarterback. But I saw this last night, a poll question from our guy Jack Fritz on the afternoon show. In your opinion, how many wins would the Eagles have with McKee at quarterback this year? And he was basically asking the question in a different way than I said it, which was, you know, if he had to play the whole season. But that's what the question references. 58% of the people said 10 or 11 plus wins, like 10 or more wins. 29% voted 10. 29% voted 11 plus. That means 58% of people that on this poll, which is like 5,000 votes, thinks that Tanner McKee would lead the Eagles to a 10-7 or better record if he had to play every game this year. Look, I like what I saw last night. I like Tanner McKee, and I think he's a nice story. I think we are going way overboard, and I think that all of this reaction, and I'm not quite saying Hugh Douglas, but kind of saying Hugh Douglas, is kind of disrespectful to Jalen Hurts. We have spent the entire offseason debating how good he is, and every time someone says he's the 9th-best quarterback or 6th-best quarterback or 7th and not 1, 2, 3, or 4, people have a conniption around here. But now all of a sudden, Tanner McKee could lead them to similar success. Their win total in Vegas right now on FanDuel is 11.5. So what I'm hearing and seeing from a lot of people is that there's not really a difference between Jalen Hurts.
No, there is.
But if 58% of people think he could win 10 or 11 games, the Vegas win total is telling us that the Eagles are probably going to win about 11 games. That's what they're projected to win.
Mm-hmm.
So if people think they'd win 10 or 11 with McKee, then the only thing I can take away from that is people are saying he could have very similar success.
Because you don't have vision.
No, I mean, I have math. I have math.
That's why I'm sitting in this chair, Joe, because, yeah, you're right. I think Tanner McKee can win you 10 football games? Yes, I do. Because, and I'm going off of the fact that I remember when Donovan got hurt.
Yeah. You did say you're going to make up some new words.
I just made it up.
Change the man's name.
But Donovan was a dynamic quarterback.
Yes.
And when Donovan got hurt, I'll never forget it. We were in the locker room, and I remember Joe Banner comes in, and he's having a conniption because we were a playoff team.
0-2, you're talking about 0-2?
Yeah, yeah. And he was just like, oh, my God, what are we going to do now? You know, Coy went in.
Yeah.
And Coy gets hurt. Now A.J. Feely's in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what tends to happen is this. You knowing that your dynamic quarterback is not out there, so you elevate your game a little bit more to help make his job easier.
Sure.
And that's on the defensive side of the ball, and that's on the offensive side of the ball, because we know that he's serviceable, but he's limited in the things that he could do. Now, I feel like with his skill set and the way that they're probably going to craft this offense around him.
And the weapons he has. That's right.
Yes,
yeah,
they're going to make it easier for him to do that. The biggest thing that I look at when I look at the teams that we're going to face going into this season, and Tanner McKee, okay, the first thought is, how many teams are going to be able to stop him from throwing the quick passing game?
Mm-hmm. Which he gets the ball out of his hands quickly, which
Tampa
is an asset.
Bay, mm-hmm. Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably say Kansas City off the top of my head. Maybe he'll have some trouble with the Rams.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Rams.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's how you look at that. So that's what I look at when I think of that. Because this team is going to step their game up to try to protect their quarterback as much as they can, because he's not as dynamic as a Jalen Hurts.
215-592-9494. I think there's a little bit of people going overboard. I like McKee, and I think he's a good backup quarterback. But he's not Jalen Hurts. And I'm not confident the Eagles would be a playoff team if McKee had to play all the games. And I can't believe that might be, you know, the opposite of what the majority is today, because Tanner McKee has barely played in the NFL. Jalen Hurts, I actually, for everyone out there that has voted or chimed in some form on this the last, you know, couple hours, and now we're on our show, if you really believe the Eagles could win 11 or more games with Tanner McKee, what you're saying is you don't really think Jalen Hurts has that big of a role.
Yes.
I mean, that's fine if you believe that.
See, you just broke it down to the...
Well, I mean, I think the whole thing is disrespectful to Jalen Hurts. I mean, that is true if people believe that. I am not confident they'd be a playoff team if it was McKee. Can I just point out a couple things? He played well last night. He throws a nice ball. He gets the ball out of his hands quickly. He was this close to two interceptions. There was one early where Johnny Wilson jumped over the corner and kind of took it out of his hands. But that ball was going into the hands of a Bengals corner. He had position.
So we got great receiver play.
Well, they got a good play by Johnny. And maybe that corner stinks.
But that's interesting.
The ball went off the Bengals corner's hands and then was taken out by Johnny Wilson. And then the second one, I mean, Ross Tucker said on the broadcast that Tanner wants that throw back. I mean, he threw it into triple coverage and the ball should have been picked off. I mean, we were this close to two picks from our guy last night, Tanner McKee. And then the whole conversation is different. 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Nick Sirianni on the performance last night of his number two quarterback.
Nick, how do you think Tanner played tonight?
Put pretty good.
Let's see it, but, you know, a little bit more as far as what he did well.
He played good. No, he did a lot of good things. Went to the right place with the football, was accurate, ran, you know, had really good operation, him and Kevin, a lot of communication and Scott. He did a really nice job.
Nick's been around here long enough. He's not going to add any sort of extra.
He already knew what was happening.
Yeah.
He knew what was happening.
Well, he can feel it.
We do this all the time. And I get it, because first preseason game, we get to see him in a small sapling size. We're excited. I still believe in Tanner McKee, no question about it. But
the future.
Unquantifiable intangibles that I always talk about, that's what Jalen has. I think this team is good enough and they have enough talent. So, yeah, you can make it to the playoffs. But you need somebody that's going to get you over the top.
Well, yeah. Well, and here's the thing. I'm not even confident they make the playoffs with Tanner McKee. He's a backup quarterback. And also, I think all the things Jalen Hurts does that we don't talk about until it's time to talk about, Tanner McKee doesn't do that. The run ability, the ability to change the play at the line of scrimmage, to get them in the right play, to freeze the defense. I mean, Tanner brings very little of that to the table. He's just a different kind of player. I think the A.J. Feely comp that Hugh made is a great one. And if we have a moment this season where Jalen misses some time, which he has missed, you know, he's missed parts of seasons all the time, right? A game here, a game there. I think they could win a few games and hold the fort with Tanner McKee. They've got something here. But the idea, if they needed Tanner for the full season, that they'd definitely be a playoff team, I don't believe that for a second. All right, can we hear Greg Cosell? He was recently on with Colin Cowherd, and he was speaking about Jalen Hurts. But really, the way he talked about Hurts and the team kind of makes you think if they had to go to a guy like McKee, how many games they could win. Here's Cosell a couple days ago.
Well, I think every quarterback, for the most part, and
is, becomes a function in many ways of their team, and Hurts is very much that kind of player. When you think about the Eagles and how they won a year ago the Super Bowl, my guess is most people, the first thing they say is not, boy, that's Jalen Hurts' team. I mean, this was a team with a running back that had a historical season. They've got the best O-line in football. They had the best defense in football. Jalen Hurts is a piece of a really good team. And they do all things that are difficult to defend. But if you're comparing him to, let's say, the quarterbacks that we think of as being the elite guys that can, in a sense, be the guys that win games by themselves, he probably does not fall into that category.
Well, I agree with that. And I agree with the assessment there of Jalen Hurts and what last year was. But he does bring a lot to the table that people always want to argue with me that he brings. And I agree with a lot of that. I just think we are going a touch overboard with the Tanner McKee thing. 215-592-9494 gets you aboard here on this Friday. Let's talk about the game last night, the play of Tanner McKee. And in a hypothetical world, if they needed him for an entire season, are you still confident they'd be a playoff team? Hugh Douglas is. It thinks they could win about 10 games. I'm not. I'm not confident they'd win that many games if Tanner McKee had to play 17 of these. Kyle, where do you come down? It feels like an August ritual here. There's someone that pops and is a backup quarterback.
He's
Kyle,
there, August ritual.
Tanner time. What'd you think?
Yep. And Hugh Douglas hates Jalen Hurts.
Put the headlines up.
Clearly. Yep.
Is that what I? That's what I do.
What I heard you say is, "Don't need him; can win without
him." That's what everyone's going to hear.
Tanner all the way.
I know it's because nobody has vision.
Well, that's because we're seeing through the tape.
And you know what I realized, Joe?
Wait, what's that?
We should listen to Hugh more often.
Well, let's stop.
Tanner McKee might be the future of the NFL. No. But like, to be realistic, of course they'd be a playoff team with Tanner McKee. Like, have you seen this roster?
Sure, I have. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and
last year's team may have been a playoff team with Tanner McKee. We'll see what this team
is. Okay, right. But
I got corners
we'll
out
see
there
what the defense
torched.
Is. Right. But you mentioned that some receivers are making some pretty good plays and stuff like that. Like, that's how it works with the Eagles. Like, Greg Gosell said it, and Cam Newton, I know everyone was very upset with what Cam Newton said a few weeks ago, but like, the Eagles don't require elite quarterback play to win football games.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
They just don't. And like, Tanner McKee might not be as good as Jalen Hurts.
Might not. Hold on. Might not be.
That's
not.
Yeah, okay.
He's not.
Fine. If you want to play semantics, he's not. But could Tanner McKee do enough to get the Eagles with as good of a roster as they are to the playoffs? Of course he can. What do they ask Jalen Hurts to do? Not turn the football over. They don't need him to go out there and throw for 300, 400 yards for them to win football games.
They also ask him to run a lot. He runs a lot. Tanner McKee has very little of that ability.
I don't know if they ask him to run a lot. He does run a lot.
He provides a lot in the run game.
Sure.
We did the touch.
But like,
we did score.
I also think we overrate just how much that affects or like adds to what Saquon Barkley is able to do. Like, Saquon Barkley behind this offensive line would be a outstanding running back, regardless of who's a quarterback, I think. And the fact they have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and that offensive line, of course the Eagles could win 10, 11 games with Tanner McKee at quarterback. And they're not winning the Super Bowl with Tanner McKee. But for them to be a playoff team with the way Tanner McKee plays, just get the ball to the playmakers and not turn the football over, like, that's a no-brainer. Of course they would be a playoff team.
Yeah, it's not a no-brainer for me. In fact, I'm not even confident they would do anything like that. Again, their win total on FanDuel is 11.5. So the idea they just would win 11 games with Tanner McKee basically is saying Jalen Hurts is a half a win. I don't believe that. As much as I try to infuse some reality to the Jalen Hurts conversation, he's a very good NFL quarterback. I had him ranked the sixth best quarterback in the whole NFL. Tanner McKee's not even a starter yet. Now, as Hugh has mentioned, he might be a team starter one day. I think there's an A.J. Feely thing to this. Mm-hmm. But I've seen this before. I mean, what was it, 7 years ago? Nate Sudfeld was the team's number two or three, and he was lighting up the preseason. He was like, oh my goodness, maybe the Eagles have another starting quarterback. Yeah, he wasn't. I like McKee. Feels a little overboard. I mean, 58% on Jack's poll think 10 or 11 wins. You guys are nuts. 215-592.
They're all frauds, by the way.
I know, because that means
total frauds.
Those, what that is saying is you don't believe in Jalen. I mean,
it might not be they don't believe in Jalen, but it's
they don't think he's that.
They
important.
Don't think he's as good as they pretended that that he was all season. All off season.
There's something that doesn't add up to me. If you are saying Julio, you're an idiot. It's the second best quarterback in the NFL, or wherever you want to put him, Allen, Burrow, whatever. But then at the same time say, yeah, they could win almost as many games with Tanner McKee.
No, see, I think this is the way I looked at it when the question was presented to me. You said, could he make it to the playoffs? Yes. Could he win you a Super Bowl? Nah, he's not doing that. Like that's the difference for me in Tanner McKee. Can he get us in the big dance? Can he get us to the playoffs and be a playoff team? No question.
Yeah, I think he can do that. I'm not even sure of that. I
don't think he can get, like, some of the things that,
man,
like, Jalen did some things last year that kind of flew, like, you could say, if you want to make that argument, that he had probably two or three good games the whole season.
Like high level games. Yeah, with some Bengals game, Steelers game.
One of those high level games was the Super Bowl.
Well, it was, yeah.
I don't think you get that from Tanner McKee.
Look, I think in a short sample, Tanner is going to be an asset to the Eagles. I mean, he already is an asset as a very cheap and under control backup quarterback. But the idea that all of a sudden he could come in and they could replicate the wins, I think is actually a slight to Jalen Hurts. And I think we're going a little overboard with our guy Tanner McKee. Where do you come down after last night? Hugh, let's plant our flag in the ground here with some. This happens every year. There's a player or two or three that stand out in training camp and they stand out in the preseason games and they become the fan favorites. I'm gonna plant my flag. It's Darius Cooper. It's the wide receiver that was playing really well last night.
Mm-hmm.
He made some plays. I think he
from
runs
Tarleton State.
Yes, he runs differently than most receivers. Almost looks like a running back when the ball is in his hands. I think they've got something. They're undrafted free agent. Can we hear from him after the game last night as he kind of introduced himself to all of us?
Graduated from Tulsa State University, originally from St. Louis, Missouri, and it's just a blessing to be here.
And was this any? Was a surprise, but. Do you feel like what you've done in camp, this is an example, this was kind of a showing?
Most definitely. This is a great organization to be introduced to as a first time being in the league because, you work so hard at the details and the small things. And when you put the work in at practice, you come out, you go out with your brothers and everybody's on the same page. And it just makes the game easier. So it was definitely a great experience to be out there playing with this team and just executing how we did it.
Can you take us through that 20-yard touchdown catch you had from McKee?
Tim McKee, he made a great call. He told me to run a go ball. He threw it up, put it in the perfect spot. The line held up for him. You can't be great without the greatness of others. So the line held up for him. He put the ball there, and we scored.
Tanner checked into the play.
Yeah, he's already an Eagle.
Runs the offense.
You can't be great without the greatest
No
others.
Other quarterback does that.
Well, I'm not sure fully about that. But I love how he literally introduced himself to everyone. As if, like, he's been on the team training camp. He didn't arrive yesterday, but he
is. Darius Cooper, graduated from Tulsa State University, originally from St. Louis, Missouri. And it's just a blessing to be here.
I'm a fan of the kid. All right, let's hear from Sirianni after the game last night on Darius Cooper, who had himself a heck of a night.
Nick, what have you made from Darius Cooper's progression over this camp and this summer?
Yeah, I think he's, I mentioned him the other day. I think he had a lot of good tools, catches the ball obviously really well. Those were some tough catches that he made today, particularly on some of those shallows. That fourth down shallow was like a perfect ball by Tanner with some traffic. I think they were in two man, and he had a really nice catch there. He's continued to get better, learning all the different spots that he needs to play. He's got an opportunity to do some good things. Obviously, you saw that out of the.
Well, Darius Cooper did it. I'm excited to watch him next Saturday in their next preseason game against the Browns. Hugh, of course, this segment sponsored by
CJ's Tire and Auto. At CJ's Tire and Auto, you can save big on service and on thousands of tires. From all the top tier brands you trust, CJ's isn't just about tires. They've got your whole ride covered. Visit CJ's Tire and Auto today.
All right, Hugh, other than Tanner McKee, who stood out in a good way? So I picked Darius Cooper. Johnny Wilson also had a good night. Anaya Smith returning some punts. Who stood out to you last night?
You know what? I'm going to go chalk. I'm going to go with the Jahad Campbell. Mm-hmm. I think that he had some plays where he looked like the middle linebacker that we want him to be. He was a little hesitant, on some of the blitzes, mm-hmm. but you can see the talent that's there. I think that's one of the guys that looks to me like he has some pass rush ability. Not really there yet, but he has something there about him.
I know Vic a few weeks ago said he's still got a ways to go as a pass rusher. I do wonder as the season goes on, though. They seem to be very deep at inside linebacker, right? When Zach Bond gets back healthy, we'll see when N'Kobe comes back to this, but we know he's behind. But they have Trotter. They have Smile Mondin, who played last night. They feel like they have guys that they could put on the field.
Yeah, a nice young group of linebackers,
right.
Man. They really do.
But they're a little bit light at edge on, behind Nolan and Angelic Sun. I I wonder if that process of Jahad Campbell learning the edge gets sped up over the course of the season. It feels like they have a bigger hole at edge than they do inside linebacker.
Well, I think it's still, you know, early in the process. I think they're still trying to get a feel for the guys that they have and everything. But, you know, you talk about last night's game, and I think you had to take it, even though we've been here talking about Kelee Ringo and what he looks like.
Not good.
You had to take it with a grain of salt because the ball was coming out quick. And you knew that. You know, you knew going into this game that was coming out quick. But you, the basic concepts of football, you have to be able to do. And tackling is one of those. And it wasn't done last night.
If you had 108 on the Hugh Douglas apologizes for Kelee Ringo tour.
No, I'm not apologizing. I'm just saying. No, I'm not apologizing.
All right. I know we're trying not to fully overreact. I've got an overreaction for you. Kelee can't play.
He stinks.
Guys. I'm sorry. I know you've been a Kelee Ringo guy. That tackle attempt on Jamar Chase last night. You ever have a moment where you're like, I'm out on a player? And I just, I'm out.
Can I just tell you?
Nope.
Like,
you going to try to spin this?
No.
Okay.
I'm about to tell you a story.
All right, go ahead.
So you know, me and Ike sit back there and we watch the games and we talk. And you know, I like watching Ike because his perspective from the secondary, you know, he remembers most of the plays that we had when we were back there. So we're watching the game, and I'm like, wait a minute. Aren't they in zone? Like, because in zone, you back off and you let, you know, you keep everything in front of you.
Sure.
And, you know, you basically make the tackle. And he didn't make the tackle. And it was like, man. And so we're sitting there, right? And, you know, you're thinking, and you know, it was like a lot of dead air, like a lot of times that we have on the air, on the show, and we're not supposed to. And I was like, yeah, that might get you cut. That might get you cut because the thing that you know about these preseason games, especially in the first one, it's vanilla. Like you're not running a whole bunch of different concepts. You're kind of just playing off, and you want to keep everything underneath you. You're playing zone.
Yep.
Because it was a couple times where we saw Jahad Campbell drop back into coverage, and he spin around, and he's waiting to see who's coming into his area. So I recognize that much of it, and to missed that tackle on a routine play. Like, that's routine, Joe. And that was tough. That was tough.
Yeah, and Elliott said something earlier that's so true. Like, okay, Jamar Chase might be the best or second best receiver in pro football. He's obviously great. But every team in the NFL has a great receiver, or most have one that's really good and then another one that's pretty. Like, you can't hide in the NFL a corner. You're going to have to tackle and cover, and it seems like Kelee just right now is not where he needs to be. And last night, that was eye-opening. I mean, I'm not expecting much out of a Dory Jackson. He's a journeyman. We heard what Vic said about a couple years ago. But Kelee, I think people were expecting Hugh. They traded up for him a couple years ago. He's been in the system.
He was pretty decent. He was – it felt like he was on the rise.
Well, they let Slay go with the thought that maybe he's ready, and he didn't look ready to me. I think there's a reason they traded for Ja'Corian Bennett. Let's hear from Nick Sirianni after the game about Kelee Ringo and his play last night.
What can Kelee kind of take away from going against Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow and, you know, how you thought he did?
Yeah, you know, you evaluate everything. Keeley's done a nice job in practice to date, you know, and he's made a lot of plays in practice, you know, today. You know, we'd like to see him, those guys complete those outs on a lot of, I see them make a lot of those plays. You know, Jamar Chase is, you know, one of the better receivers in the NFL. Just, we got to make that tackle there in that situation and, you know, stop that play for a 16-yard gain instead of it going out there. But he's done a lot of good things, and everything, we evaluate everything, right? It's not just a one game deal. And I have no doubt that he'll look at the tape. We'll look at the tape, and he'll get better from that.
I thought it was a nice job by Sirianni there to tell the truth about it. Like, we got to make that tackle, but also be not totally throwing the kid under the bus.
Yeah,
like,
somebody
not
tells
over
the truth,
yeah,
around here.
Yeah, yeah, what we have.
Not Hugh,
yeah,
Douglas.
Yeah.
I tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I am.
You just said Kelee Ringo was on the rise.
I am a plethora of truth.
A plethora of truth?
A plethora.
Yeah.
Not a plethora, a plethora. Like, double that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not a word.
Yeah, no, this is two
but
segments
no, he,
in a row.
He,
be honest. He was, it's because his mom is fine.
At one point, he was on the rise.
I know why you still think he could play.
At one point, he was on the rise.
Say he can't play. Say he can't play.
This year, he struggles a little bit. He's struggling a little bit.
I need you to just.
This is his third
I need
year
you to be
in the
truthful.
League.
Yeah, and that's the sad part about it, because this is third year and he's struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
No, the Eagles are in trouble at cornerback. We can be honest.
Mm.
Come on, Hugh.
I don't know if they're in trouble.
Mm. Are you worried about the defense? I am.
Well, you're worried about what are they seeing at the corner spot. And yeah. It's obvious. Like, there's a lot that went into that last night because, you know, before we had – before the preseason game yesterday, we sat here and we talked about Vic talking about the defense plan.
Yeah.
None of the guys played but Kelee Ringo.
Adoree played too.
Well, you're talking – yeah, the corners, the starting corners, because you had to see them.
Because they're not really starters.
Well, you had to see what you have.
Cooked.
You got to see what you have. And to have – it's telling when you have – the whole defense on the sideline chilling, eating Uncrustables, and you're playing. Yeah.
Uncrustables are a great snack.
Not a fan.
Not a fan?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Not a fan.
What are you guys doing?
But the creepy Uncrustable chewing.
That was great. It was awesome. That was awesome.
That was hilarious.
It was more entertaining than watching Ringo play.
That's for sure. Can we hear from Kelee after the game, talking about his play against Cincinnati?
Makes a good play. Quick game, man. Number one to tackle. Good player, makes a good play. So, just got to come out there and just approach a little bit better.
Was there help inside, or was that just angles?
No, it was zero. It was zero. So, no, sir, but man, ultimately, you know, I just had to come out there and make a better play.
Do you think this was like a good test for you going against Burrow, Chase, you know, their first team offense? And what do you think kind of like?
Oh, for sure. I was going to say before, man, just going out there, trusting your technique, playing with ultimate confidence, you know, and just making the plays that come to you, you know, and in a couple of situations, I didn't do that.
Well, here's my biggest take from last night with that and the whole Kelee thing. And Adoree Jackson, I don't think Adoree Jackson made like a bad play like Kelee did, but he also didn't do anything positive. Adoree Jackson was just kind of there chasing around Higgins and Chase. We better hope Jakorian Bennett could play because right now
he's the only guy.
I mean, if we're going into week one, which is now less than 4 weeks away, right? 4 weeks from now, we are reacting to the Eagles Cowboys game from week one. Do you trust either Adoree Jackson or Kelee Ringo to go up against Pickens or CeeDee Lamb? I don't. That feels like a trouble spot.
You know what bothers me?
It was a big sigh.
About last night. Because that's a routine tackle.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a routine tackle. So when you ask me that question and I hear what Coach Sirianni says, I mean, it's hard for me to answer yeah. Because you're supposed, like, from what I've been hearing, he's been in position. He just hasn't made the play.
It seems like that's the story of his camp and maybe his career so far, that he's athletic enough to be around the football. He just doesn't do anything when he's there near it, whether in a tackle or play on the ball.
And it kind of makes you wonder what's going on where there's a little bit of – like there was a lot of miscues last night in that game. You expect that from the preseason game, but that's a routine tackle.
Yeah.
That's a routine catch. He spun around. You have to be in position. Even I know that. You got to be in position to make that play.
Yeah.
And he didn't make it.
I didn't like his attitude after the game either. Did you see him? I mean, he looked miserable.
He did. He looked very down on himself.
Because he knows what it is. Like, you're battling, and this is the thing, Kyle, to your point. You walk out there, like, say you get the couple days before. They say, okay, Jalen Carter's not playing. None of the guys are playing. Kelee, you out there. And you've been running with the ones. You've been running with the ones, so you immediately know that you're being evaluated.
Well, I mean, it's hard to wake up and realize
that, Kelee. Yeah, and it's like a lot of guys, you know, they get tight. To me, it looked like he was tight last night. And because that's routine corner play. That's not making an excuse. That's routine corner play. He has to get better because I guarantee you they're looking at the film and they're like, dude.
Well, I'm just
going to make that play.
Again, this isn't like this is the old days of the NFL where teams just maybe have one good receiver. Again, week one. All right, let's imagine Quinion's going to travel with CeeDee Lamb. All right, he'll do a good job. George Pickens can play a little bit. He's not a nobody. So if I'm the Cowboys and I'm Dak, I'm like, I'm going to go to George Pickens 10 times in this game and make the Eagles stop us.
But the main thing today, and everybody's been talking about, is how good Tanner McKee looked last night. And he looked awesome. Tanner McKee looked really, really good last night. But I think it's fair to mention this is not the first time Tanner McKee has looked good. And it's not maybe for a national audience, but it's not the first time that we've seen Tanner McKee play well. Mm-hmm. We've seen Tanner McKee play well in the preseason. We saw Tanner McKee play well in the regular season last year as well. So I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that Tanner McKee looked good. And I know it is a preseason game. I have plenty of perspective that it was a preseason game. I get it. But afterwards, all I was seeing online, and I've heard people talking about, is what can we get for Tanner McKee, right? Would you trade Tanner McKee for a second-round pick? What if we got 2 second-round picks for Tanner McKee? Let me be absolutely 100% clear. I would not trade Tanner McKee for a second-round pick. I wouldn't trade Tanner McKee for 2 second-round picks. I would not trade Tanner McKee for a first-round pick. And here is why. We are trying to win a Super Bowl this year. The point of this year is to win a Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts has gotten hurt in every year of his career. He has missed games in every year of his career. I don't want a Super Bowl run to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Derailed. If in the middle of one of the toughest stretches of the season, Jalen goes out for a month. Because this schedule is very hard. The difference between winning 12 games and 10 games or 13 games and 11 games or whatever it is could be the difference between having home playoff games and having road playoff games. Like, this season is too important. We have a ton of draft picks in the future. I am confident in Tanner McKee. In Tanner McKee, we have not just a talented quarterback, but a quarterback who has been around here a few years, a quarterback who knows the personnel, a quarterback who the coaches know, who could slide in seamlessly if Jalen Hurts goes out. I am not doing the whole thing where I'm saying they will be just as good with Tanner McKee as they would with Jalen. It's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is I am fully confident in Tanner McKee going in there for a month and a half, 2 months, whatever he needs to go in, mm-hmm. and keep the ship afloat. And keep our Super Bowl hopes alive if Jalen Hurts were to get hurt. And I am not getting rid of that for a draft pick. I'm not getting rid of it for 2 draft picks. This season is too important. If we want to win a Super Bowl, if this is the most important position in sports, quarterback, I want to invest in that position. And the best investment I can have is having a good backup quarterback, and we already have one.
All right, so here's the deal here. I love Tanner McKee as a quarterback. I have from day one, the first summer that we saw him. I thought he was better than Kenny Pickett. Last year, I thought he was the true number two on this team, which is why the Eagles were willing to move on from Kenny Pickett, even though they traded. I forget what they traded to get Kenny Pickett here. But
I think it was a third.
It was a fourth that turned into a third, maybe.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
So they certainly are impressed with Tanner McKee, and his development since they drafted him here is obviously showing when he gets a chance to go out there and play. That being said, I'm not saying I'm looking to trade him.
Sure.
But I'm not going to just ignore phone calls either. So if somebody is desperate enough out there, Cleveland, New Orleans, hell, I don't know, Indy, you give me some teams out there that may be interested in a guy like Tanner McKee and desperate enough that they would give us, you telling me a first-round pick you wouldn't take?
No.
I would.
I would not.
Because here's the thing. There has to be, and I haven't looked at the market, so I blame me for not having some sort of research and information here for us as to what veteran, what other quarterback would you go out and get if you get rid of Tanner McKee.
Right.
So I don't have that in front of me, and I don't believe the Eagles would do it without a legitimate plan in place. Let me just say that. They aren't going to trade Tanner McKee and say, okay, DTR, you're our backup quarterback, or what's his name, Kyle McCord?
Kyle McCord.
Yeah. You're going to be the backup quarterback. The Eagles wouldn't trade Tanner McKee, and that is their backup plan. They would have something in mind. So I would trust them from that standpoint. A first-round pick does a lot for you that Tanner McKee may not be able to do for you. Now, let me just say this. Let me slow walk it real quick before I pass it over to Fritz, who I know you're probably trading for a bag of chips or anything you can get. If Tanner McKee has to play a couple games, right, Jalen goes down.
Yep.
You mean to tell me with the roster that we have, you couldn't find a veteran quarterback out there that could get you through those couple of games just like Tanner McKee could till Jalen comes back? There has to be a quarterback out there who has in-game playing experience other than the end of the season that Tanner McKee has that could be valuable to you with this roster to hold down the fort until Jalen comes back. If it's an extended period of time that he has to take over, I would trust a guy who has experience in this situation. I don't know if Tanner McKee can play 6 or 7 games, including playoffs, and get you to a championship. He hasn't had to do that. So I don't know if he can do that. So I'm measuring all that up against the value of a first-round draft pick that I can have at my disposal to do whatever. You know how valuable that is? You got 2 first-round picks. You can move up in the draft to get a player that you seek in the top 15, top 10, whatever it may be. Like, it's so much more valuable to you to have that asset than Tanner McKee if somebody's going to give you that much value for him. The Eagles could do so much with that first-round pick. I love Tanner McKee. I love him. I don't know what he would be able to do that a backup quarterback with some experience couldn't do with this roster. This is a very talented roster. It's a very talented roster. A veteran backup quarterback should be able to come in here and win a couple of games till Jalen comes back.
215-592-9494. Tanner McKee played great last night. Would you trade him for a second? Would you trade him for a first? Jack?
So I got a name? When they eventually, hopefully, trade Tanner McKee.
No, no. And by the way, here's another thing. Here's another.
You got a name.
I got a name.
Hold on. He's under contract for 2 more years. And 1 more year. Trade him next offseason.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. See, you've already ruined Tanner McKee for me. I was ready to come in today, say they'd win at least 10 games with him, obviously.
Of course they would.
And it was totally decreases the value of quarterback in this team. But regardless, you obviously would trade him for a first-round pick. That is ridiculous.
No, like, I would not.
It goes so much further than what a backup quarterback could do. Like, you're doing this out of fear that Jalen could get hurt.
It's not fear. It's reality. We won a Super Bowl when our starting quarterback went down because our backup quarterback was good.
And it's the only time it's happened in the history of the
NFL.
Not.
No, it's not.
What, Jeff Hostetler
won a Super Bowl.
2 times in 60
Doug
years.
Doug Williams.
I don't even know if he was a backup. Who cares? Well, I wasn't alive
was
yet.
He was.
I wasn't alive. Okay. Don't care. Moving on. Like, let's stop living in fantasy land.
It's not fantasy
it
land.
It is fantasy land. It's a 7th-round player, the 61 on Madden, and we're not trading him for a first-round pick? That is ridiculous. And, yes, I have a name of a guy who has won games in the NFL at a high level that is still a free agent that could come in and keep the ship afloat if Jalen got hurt. Carson Wentz. He's right there.
Oh, shut up.
He's everything that Ike was looking for in a quarterback.
Yeah, he looked great last year. I'll tell you what, Tanner McKee is a better quarterback right now than Carson Wentz.
Maybe.
Let's not derail the show.
I don't want to.
I don't want to derail the show either. I just feel like I'm living in la-la land.
We're not living in la-la land.
Yeah, use your first-round pick.
Use your eyes.
Dude, you
stop with the Wentz, though. Yes.
Do you know what it is?
Never.
You're the kind of guy, Jack, who loses your spare tire in the back, and they tell you it's $100 to get a new spare tire, and you're like, when am I going to need a spare tire? And then you're driving to work. All of a sudden, you have a tire blowout. You have the most important show of your life, and you don't show up there because you don't have your spare tire.
And guess what I would do?
It is the most important position in sports. We have always had a really good backup here. I want to have a good backup here because I don't want my Super Bowl plans derailed because I traded Tanner McKee.
It's a first round pick. It's so much more valuable than a backup quarterback.
Not this year. Not right now.
But I'm a Windows man. And yeah, it's not all about this year for me. Like, if they win the Super Bowl, great. Whatever. But getting a first round pick to me is actually more valuable than making the Super Bowl.
And the other thing you're out of your mind.
Crazy.
Well, and
Friday.
The other thing I would bring up here is that whatever team you're trading him to, you're making that team better.
What about the Rams? If Stafford's cooked, you get that Falcons first round pick from them.
No.
Why?
Because the Falcons' first-round pick is going to be like 18 or something.
That's pretty valuable.
And by the like, think about the Giants.
Would you trade that Saints pick.
Would you train?
Well, you're not getting a top.
Would you trade Tanner McKee to the Giants?
Sure.
Okay, but the Giants with Tanner McKee are probably going to win 10 games.
Damn.
I don't know about that.
I think so. I mean, I think we've
gone so far with Tanner McKee. I mean, you hope he's Nick Foles. We're acting like the guy's Tom Brady. Like, he's...
No!
He's serviceable. He's serviceable. He's fine.
He's good.
We're going a smidge overboard, in my opinion.
Reminds me a lot of one of my former teammates.
Ooh, Coy Detmer.
Not Coy. No.
Who?
Matt Schaub.
Oh, okay. Well, didn't he throw 35 touchdown passes one year?
Yeah, over 4,000 yards. Yeah. Matt Schaub, that's what he kind of reminds me of.
All right, 2-1.
But he also, Matt Schaub had Andre Johnson.
Well, yeah. Well, we got a couple of guys here.
Yeah, Andre Johnson, who was the running back in Houston back then?
Was that before Arian
it wasn't
Foster?
Foster?
No, it was
Foster, it?
Yeah. Right? Yes, okay. That's who it was, Arian Foster. Yep.
Vegan. 215-592-9494. Would you trade Tanner McKee for a first-round pick? Do you want me to reveal the Eagles' Mount Rushmore?
Yes.
Okay. Buzz, do you have the Mount Rushmore thing back?
It's the WIP Afternoon Show's Mount Rushmore Week.
It is Mount Rushmore Week, 30 past every hour, a new Mount Rushmore. Now, 2:30 is the big ones. Tomorrow at 2:30, by the way, we will reveal the Philadelphia Mount Rushmore. So this is all teams. This is, now just to repeat the rules again, this is only the last 50 years. And it was 50% voted on by listeners, by you, on 94WIP.com. 50% voted by WIP staff, except for Hugh, who did not get it in on time.
Because you bullied him.
I'm not trying to bully anyone. And this is the voting. The first head on Mount Rushmore and the top vote getter is, unsurprisingly, Brian Dawkins.
Nice.
Oh, come on, man. You want to try to disrespect it.
I do not. All I do is ask questions. By the way, if you ever ask about this, you put in a good word for
I
me.
Will. Yeah, okay.
Yes, all right, yes, all right. Yes, thank you. Thank you. The second head and second vote getter on the Eagles Mount Rushmore, as determined by WIP listeners and our staff, Reggie White.
Of course, yeah.
The third head on the Eagles Mount Rushmore and third highest vote getter is Jason Kelce.
Wow.
So Kelce makes it.
Wow.
Now here's where we get, now there's a lot of names left, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here is the, and it was close, but here is the fourth head on the Eagles Mount Rushmore as voted on by WIP staff and listeners, is Lane Johnson.
Wow.
Lane Johnson?
Boston offensive line 10.
And I love Lane.
Love Lane.
He's not on mine. For a couple of reasons.
Shout out to the fans voting Lane Johnson. How about that?
So the rest of the voting went this way through the top 10, just in order. This is voting. Fifth was Jalen. Six was Brandon Graham. Seven was Howie Roseman.
Wow.
Howie Roseman got very little listener support, but a lot of staff support.
Yeah, not voting for Howie, sorry.
Number eight, Donovan.
Okay.
Number nine, Nick Foles.
Okay.
And number 10 is Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, a lot of recency bias.
Yeah. We should all give ours now.
Oh, yeah.
You want me to go first?
If you want to.
So mine is Doc.
Okay.
Reggie.
Okay.
Foles.
Okay.
Brandon Graham.
Okay.
And here's how I looked at it.
Okay.
I think Reggie and Doc are no-brainers.
Yeah.
I think Foles being the first quarterback to win an Eagles Super Bowl in the way that he did it, I think deserves to be on the Mount Rushmore. And then for the fourth spot, I did want the second Super Bowl represented. But you know I don't want to put anybody on there whose career is still in the early stages, which is why I didn't even really consider Jalen.
Yeah.
Brandon as a 17-year Eagle, two-time Super Bowl champion, representative of the franchise, great player. Not the player that Lane is, of course, not the player that Kelce is. But I felt like he represented both eras, represented the second Super Bowl and the first Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So that's why I had BG. So,
yeah. No real qualms about anybody on that list.
I felt good about it. I felt good about it. Yeah.
It's a good list. All of those guys are certainly worthy. And I think when you do the whole Mount Rushmore thing, it ultimately is going to boil down to what, after you get past to me, Dalk and Reggie, it's about what had an impact on you as an Eagles fan.
Yeah, because there's so many great players.
Yeah.
I didn't even mention Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there are guys that are certainly worthy of being in that. So let me give you mine. I give
you
Dalk and Reggie.
Yep.
That's the two. Then I go Jalen Hurts and I go Donovan.
Donovan?
Yeah.
Wow. Over Kelce, BJ?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and here's why. And here's why. Donovan, for a decade, carried the weight of this franchise on his shoulders.
He did.
And a lot of that on the offensive side of the ball where he didn't have necessarily the level of help of other guys have had. And had those guys step up and play big. And I understand that we didn't ultimately win a Super Bowl, but he did an awful lot without a lot that made us contenders and perennial contenders. And to get the five NFC championship games, five or six division titles, a Super Bowl appearance, and really, if you're talking about a franchise quarterback that you didn't have to worry about the quarterback for a decade, he's the last one we had.
Yep.
Everybody else has sort of piecemealed their careers together, or they're still sort of filling out their career.
We had moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, but never not until Jalen.
And that's why I can't distinguish who should I go with from that era, from after McNabb until Jalen Hurts. There are so many central figures in that era. Howie Roseman coming back as the GM, assembling a team, bringing Nick Foles back, Carson Wentz being drafted, Jason Kelce being here, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Lane Johnson. Like, all those guys represent that era of football, and I can't distinguish who should be the most important guy from that era.
Yeah, it's almost...
No one stands out.
It's almost like when I'm picking Foles or BG, it's almost like they're representing all of those guys.
All of those guys, yes.
Yeah, there are a lot of great players. But I think in your era, it seems very clear that offense and defense was dominant.
It was established.
And Donovan.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It was established.
Yep.
And Reggie was the dominant figure of that era amongst other great players. And then I put Jalen on here because I'm sort of looking out into the future what it's going to be, right? He's already got the most important ingredients established already. Now he's just adding on to it. So as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be that franchise quarterback that you have for a decade that can also add a championship to his resume and a Super Bowl MVP. And I don't know if you're going to get better than that moving forward. It's going to take a lot for somebody to move Jalen Hurts out of this position moving forward. So I may as well put him on there now. Jalen Hurts, McNabb, Dalk, and Reggie is my Mount Rushmore.
It seems like, by the way, the only person that could move Jalen Hurts off of it would be Jalen Hurts.
Would be Jalen Hurts,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Because even injury, if God forbid he suffered
unless it's a career-ending injury.
But even
yes.
So, he has, like, it could never, like, hit the picture, the snapshot of his career almost would be like him playing gives it a chance to go down. Him not playing almost wouldn't to a certain extent. Jack, your Eagles Mount Rushmore?
So three chalks, Reggie, Dalk, and Kelce.
Ah, you think Kelce is chalk?
That's not chalk.
I think it's chalk.
Okay.
He would look great on Mount Rushmore. There's no doubt about
it. Oh, he certainly would have looked great with the beard. Definitely would have looked great.
Now, yes. Mummer's
Chiefs
outfit.
We got to put the hat on you.
The Chiefs hat. Yeah. The Mummer's outfit's probably going to be etched on the Mount Rushmore.
Probably
Kelce.
Will, yeah.
Yep.
Kelce on there. And then I think this guy is arguably the most important Eagle since 2000, and that is Howie Roseman. Like, I just... Uh-huh. He's been to three Super Bowls. He won one. His record after coming back from being pushed in the closet is impeccable. I mean, he built two Super Bowl teams with totally different cores.
General manager.
I can't put Howie on there. No, you're right. No, listen, he is a central figure to all of this, and I just didn't have front office in my mind when I'm putting up the Mount Rushmore.
I'll tell you what,
players.
I would put Lurie.
Howie is a cop out a little bit.
I would put Lurie on it before I would put Howie.
Exactly.
You know, like in the same way that
boring.
Well, no, in the same way the Raiders would put Al Davis on it, the Cowboys
well,
you would
like
have to put Jerry Jones on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's, and I know you're not old enough to remember, but those who are realize that Jeffrey Lurie saved the franchise from a cheap owner that everybody hated. Like, Norman Brayman was an enemy in this town because he would not invest. He didn't want to invest in the team. He was seen, you know, he had car dealerships or whatever. People referred to him as a car salesman. And the difference in to take the Eagles from where they were as a franchise, people also don't remember. We had to worry about blackouts at one point because the games weren't sold out. Like, we had a training camp at Westchester University. Like,
nothing wrong with Westchester
no
University.
No offense. But, like, I think Jeffrey – now, I'm not putting Lurie on it, but without
you
Jeffrey
said
Lurie –
he's more deserving.
Yeah. I think he – now we
But do, he doesn't build the teams. Like, I
does
sure
not.
He does. His money does. And his willingness to spend that money does.
It helps. But someone's like, I still got to pay the right guys.
Well, I know, but Howie has a team that does that. It's not solely Howie.
Howie by himself. Drafts, scouts. Actually develops, too. He's a coach on the field.
So there it is. The official Mount Rushmore, as voted on by staff and WIP listeners.
Who'd they have again? Lane Johnson in there, huh?
Brian Dawkins, Reggie White, Jason Kelce,
it's
and
not
Lane
disrespectful.
Johnson.
How do you get two linemen on the Mount Rushmore?
We gotta stop.
Bro, we are
gotta stop.
We're a lunch pail town.
I appreciate a good lunch pail. I just, it's a little thirsty.
First ballot Hall of Famer. Some people forget.
That's great.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.